call him in the hospital and talk to him at really pretty much the final moments. And that was very sweet to witness. And then when we were on the way to Vrindavan and entered Brajbhumi, my spiritual master left. And shortly after, maybe just a few minutes afterwards, again, His Holiness Shiva Maharaj rang. And, you know, we could have gone completely AWOL, but he gave us such wonderful advice and guidance at that time that he really kept us very steady in our minds. And then, not only that, but Maharaj promised that he would come for the funeral. So he travelled for about 15, maybe 16 hours from Mayapur, all the way from Mayapur to Vrindavan. No easy journey, right, the following day. And again, Maharaj came straight from the airport, straight from when he came to Vrindavan, straight to us. He had darshan of His Holiness Krishna Swami Maharaj, and again he gave us transcendental guidance. It was amazing guidance. Because we had all sorts of fancy ideas, and Maharaj said, hey, just calm down. And he gave us some very grave advice, really good advice. The following day in the funeral, Maharaj was there all the time, constantly supporting us. And even after the funeral, Maharaj said to me, Nabi, do you want anything else? And I said to Maharaj, yes, can you come and give us some help? Or us, the God brothers, sisters, for a couple of hours. Maharaj, although he was actually sunstroke because it was a very hot day, he came, and for 2 hours he gave us such incredible guidance. And that really is probably one of the most unforgettable experiences of my life. Lost one spiritual master, but I gained another. And Maharaj kept saying, I haven't come for you, Nabi. I haven't come for your God brothers. I haven't come for your God sister. I've come for my friend, His Holiness Krishna Swami. But of course, we were the beneficiaries. So we took all the help that we could get, and we were given a lot of help. And then, just to see Maharaj's compassion and kindness again, just a few weeks ago, I wrote to Maharaj saying, my mother is not very well. I think within 5 or 10 minutes, Maharaj was on the phone. And he was talking to my mother, and he was giving her transcendental knowledge on her deathbed. That was incredible. Absolutely incredible. That's kindness, that's compassion. Forget the knowledge, forget the fame, but when you see kindness and compassion, you see sweetness. And I've experienced the sweetness of Maharaj. And I must say, I'm very, very grateful that you have come. I know it's a long distance, and I know you kept saying to me, I don't travel south of the River Thames. But I'm really, really grateful, and I hope devotees can share this experience and really learn from what Maharaj has to say. And really, if this satsang doesn't change you, then you'll be wasting your time. Don't waste your time. This is the time. We are very fortunate to be having the association of His Holiness Shivara Maharaj. Let's make the most of it. His Holiness Shivara Maharaj ki jai.
Hare Krishna.
Thank you, Maharaj. Oh, yes. Thank you, Maharaj.
Hare Krishna. Nice to be here again. It's been
25 years. I think 20 years at least.
Gita Jayanti.
Gita Jayanti. You got a great memory.
90. Gita Jayanti, 1991, 92, 93, something like that.
Yeah.
94.
Govindrapal. Govindrapal. He did the yajna.
Govindrapal.
We did a huge yajna kund, and he used a very small portion of it.
Anyway, thank you all for coming. And there's some other devotees coming as well. That's what we're sort of waiting for them to come for, and then we'll have some more kirtan. Although we're short on instruments. And in the meantime, I'd like to read a little from Chaitanya Charitamrita. Let me ask who's read Chaitanya Charitamrita. Not many people raising their hands, and even where they are, they're not raising very high. Chaitanya Charitamrita is very much essential reading, as you see here. You're worshipping Gaur Nitai. And there's a school over here. And let's just go back even a step before that, and that is to Srila Prabhupada's books. You're all here, and you're all sort of educated people to one degree or another, because in modern world no one gets anywhere without education. And Krishna consciousness is also it's about spiritual education. Fortunately, we live in a world where religion is generally relegated to some kind of faith. That's how it's defined in the dictionary. Religion is some kind of faith. But there's a lot more than just faith to being Krishna conscious. Krishna consciousness is a state of being, and ultimately it's the means for liberation. It's the means for attaining our own eternal spiritual condition and for finding a way out of this horrible material world. But it doesn't happen by faith. It happens by purity of heart. And Krishna says, Bhavo Gyana Tapasa Putramad Bhavanagata, that only by transcendental knowledge can you actually acquire love for Krishna. Yeah, maybe you want to move up a little.
Yeah.
So you need Gyana in order to attain Bhava. Bhavo Gyana Tapasa Putramad Bhavanagata. And so it requires quite a deep knowledge and grasp of spiritual life in order to practice it properly. Like, for instance, being a doctor, being a surgeon, to be more precise. Being a surgeon is both, you have to know anatomy, and you also have to be really trained in a very very exacting science of surgery. To be Krishna conscious, you have to understand the science of bhakti, devotion, and then you have to know how to apply it. This is called jnana and vijnana. And it's only by being able to have both the knowledge and the application of knowledge can one actually really purify one's heart? And when one has a pure heart, then one can learn how to love Krishna. And when one learns how to love Krishna, then one becomes qualified to enter into Krishna's abode. So it's serious business. If all of you just quit your work and came here and put your energies in 24/7 into being Krishna conscious, then maybe in one lifetime you'll be successful. It's a full-time job. It's not a part-time job. Well, what chance do we have then? Well, the good thing is that we do worship Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. And when Lord Chaitanya sees that we really put in our best effort, then yogakshema bhavyaham, then he can make up the rest. But if we're half-hearted in our effort, then you can't depend on that mercy. So anyway, the science of Krishna consciousness is found in the Vedic literature. And those Vedic literature, although they're very, very extensive, are summarized for us in four books. The Bhagavad Gita, the Srimad Bhagavatam, Bhakti Rasamrita Sindhu, and Chaitanya Charitamrita. So these four books give, Bhagavad Gita explains to us the need to surrender to Krishna and the futility of material existence. I just need to listen. A first ship kibuzot. The futility of material life. Srimad Bhagavatam gives us actually a picture of what it means to be surrendered to Krishna and the examples of Krishna's surrender devotees. The Bhakti Rasamrita Sindhu teaches the science of bhakti and surrender. And it actually has, there's two different books. One is called Bhakti Rasamrita Sindhu, and the next volume from that is called Ujjvala Nilamani. And then there is the fourth book, which is Chaitanya Charitamrita, and this is actually giving us a insight into how Lord Chaitanya's mercy can be acquired. Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, who is actually Krishna himself, and how he is given this chanting of this Hare Krishna Maha Mantra as the primary means for purifying our hearts. Just like chanting Hare Krishna is very easy, but if any of you have been doing it for quite some time, you'll notice it's also very difficult. So it's one mantra, but mantra siddhi is something else. To actually attain perfection and chanting mantra is something else. So, Srila Prabhupada, he complained about his followers. He said, you don't study my books. The Prabhupada got up at midnight in order to write these books. He didn't do that because he just wanted the books to be sold to some strangers on the street. He did that so that his followers would actually read them, primarily. That's the primary purpose. Read them, and they're not actually just reading books, they're actually textbooks, so they require to be studied in depth. And that's what we should put our energies into. People are constantly texting on their telephones, they're looking at the internet, in contact with all kinds of information, venues and media. This is what we need to actually concentrate our time and energy on, at least if we want to become Krishna conscious. Otherwise, time goes by like that. I'm just trying to think of when I first came to South London. Well, I came to London in the UK in 1980, so that's 37 years ago. I probably came here 35 years ago.
We started in 1989.
89. Okay, so 20-odd years ago, 28 years ago.
Yes. January, yes, I guess.
And it's just a memory, of which I don't have much memory of. It's all gone. It's all gone. 27 years. I'd probably write it down in 27 seconds. So life goes by very quickly. And what have you got at the end? The only thing that you have is Shraddha Hoy, Bhajan Hoy, Murti, Janma Hoy. Your sadhan and your bhajan, that's all that you have. Everything else will go. Whatever you've accumulated, your house, your bank balance, family, all of these things are all temporary. Nothing will really have any real substance. The only thing that has substance is what you've acquired. So Krishna says, Svapamapyasya Dharmasya Trayate Mahatubhaya. Now I'll read a little from this Chaitanya Charitamrita. This is the fifth chapter, and it tells the story of Shaksha Gopal. Who's been to Jagannath Puri? Ooh, a lot of you. Who's been to Shaksha Gopal?
Oh, we came to see you. We went to Jagannath Puri.
You saw me in Jagannath Puri?
Shaksha Gopal, yeah.
You went to see Shaksha Gopal in Jagannath Puri? Yeah. So Shaksha Gopal is like 15 miles outside of Jagannath Puri as you're coming the road from Bhubaneswar. Unfortunately, now they built this super highway. It used to be a very beautiful little road that you could come on. Anyway, and Shaksha Gopal was originally in Vrindavan, and that's a long distance. So this tells a story of how Shaksha Gopal got from Vrindavan to around Jagannath. Well, he did come to Jagannath Puri, and he came to Jagannath Temple. But then there was a disagreement between him and Jagannath, so Jagannath had him booted out, and the king built the temple for him a little further away. I offer my respectful obeisances unto the Supreme Personality of God. I don't know why it says God, but okay. It's okay. Who appeared as Shaksha Gopal to benefit a Brahmin. For 100 days he traveled through the country walking on his own legs. Thus his activities are wonderful. All glories to Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, all glories to Lord Nityananda Prabhu, all glories to Sri Advaita, and all glories to all the devotees of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. How long did it take you to get here?
2 hours, 40 minutes.
That's how long it took us. Did you come through London? Anyway, we go back on the motorway.
So much. Can I ask devotees again, please come forward. There's going to be more devotees coming. And Amalabhakta, Amalabhakta, and Nadia Mataji, and Sajjata, please come forward.
Yeah, we forgot. Well, not we forgot, but some people forgot the harmonium as well. So. Hare Krishna. Yeah. Come in. Walking and walking, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu and his party finally arrived at Yajapur on the river Vaitarani. There he saw the temple of Varahadev and offered his obeisance unto him. In the temple of Varahadev, Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu engaged in chanting and dancing and offered prayers. He passed that night in the temple. Historically, where Lord Chaitanya appeared in 1486 A.D., and this is 24 years after that, after Chaitanya Mahaprabhu had taken sannyas. So 1486, that means this is 1510. And when Lord Chaitanya took sannyas, first he wanted to go to Vrindavan, but he got tricked to go on to Shantipur. And now from Shantipur he met his mother, who asked him to stay in Jagannath Puri. So now Lord Chaitanya is on his way to Jagannath Puri. On the way to Puri, he went to he stopped first in Chichur Gopinath, and which is in the town of Remuna, And there he told the story of Sri Uchur Gopinath to the devotees, which is the story of Madhavendra Puri. And then from there, they're coming to Puri. And so this is very close to Puri. And now they're walking along with the devotees. Afterwards, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu went to the town of Katak to see the temple of the witness Gopal. When he saw the deity of Gopal, he was very much pleased by his beauty. While there, Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu engaged in chanting and dancing for some time, and being overwhelmed, he offered many prayers to Gopal. That night, Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu stayed in the temple of Gopal, and along with the devotees, he heard the narration of the witness Gopal with great pleasure. Previously, when Nityananda Prabhu had toured all over India to see different places of pilgrimage, he also had come to see Shakshi Gopal at Katak. I don't know why they say Katak, because Shakshi Gopal is in Shakshi Gopalpur and Katak is somewhere else. At that time, Nityananda Prabhu had heard the story of Shakshi Gopal from the townspeople. He now recited this again, and Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu heard the narration with great pleasure. But Lord Nityananda, when he was very young, 8 years old, then a sannyasi came to his home, which is in the area called Radhadesh, and Ekachakra, what is called Ekachakra Gram, which is about 5-6 hours drive from Mayapur. Anyone been to Ekachakra? Uh-huh. Okay, good. And so that sannyasi asked Lord Nityananda's parents to give him their son. So then Lord Nityananda went with him, and then thereafter he just traveled on his own. And he traveled all throughout India quite a few times, actually. Went all the way down south and up. So here it describes that he also, when he came to the temple of Shakshi Gopal, he heard the story, and now Chaitanya Mahaprabhu and his associates are hearing the pastime from Lord Nityananda. Formerly at Vidyanagar in South India, there were two Brahmins who made a long tour to see different places of pilgrimage. There's quite a few cities called Vidyanagar. I'm not sure which Vidyanagar this is. Vidyanagar was also where, because places of learning are often just called Vidyanagar. Vidyanagar is also the place where Ramananda Roy lived. First of all, they visited Gaya, then Kashi, then Prayag. Finally, with great pleasure, they came to Mathura. After reaching Mathura, they started visiting the different forests of Vrindavan and came to Govardhan Hill. They visited all 12 forests and at last came to the town of Vrindavan. In the village of Panchakroshi Vrindavan, at the site where the Govinda temple is now situated, there was a great temple where gorgeous worship of Gopal was performed. This is a long time ago. This is like going back 800-900 years. So this was prior to even when the Goswamis established the temple of the temples of Vrindavan. So where Govindaji was, this deity of Gopal was there. So this is Govindaji temple was built by Man Singh at the time of during the time of Rupa Goswami. So just around the time of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. But it says, before there was another temple on that site, and in that temple was this Gopal deity. After taking baths at different bathing places along the river Jamuna, such as Keshigat and Kaliagat, the pilgrims visited the temple of Gopal after they took rest in that temple. The beauty of the Gopal deity stole away their minds, and feeling great happiness, they remained there for 2 or 4 days. One of the two Brahmins was an old man, and the other one's young. The young man was assisting the old one. Indeed, the young Brahmin always rendered service to the old one, and the old man, being very satisfied with his service, was pleased with him. The older man told the younger, "You have rendered various types of service to me. You have assisted me in traveling to all these places of pilgrimage. Even my own son does not render such service. By your mercy, I did not become fatigued while on this tour. If I did not show you any respect, I would be ungrateful. Therefore, I promise to give you my daughter in charity. The younger Brahmin replied, my dear sir. In other words, the Brahmin, old Brahmin, was very indebted to the young one, so he wanted to repay him, and therefore he said, all right, I'll give you my daughter in charity. The younger Brahmin replied, my dear sir, please hear me. But you are saying something very unusual. Such a thing never happens. You are a most aristocratic family man, well-educated and very rich. I'm not at all aristocratic, and I'm without a decent education and have no wealth. Sir, I'm not a suitable bridegroom for your daughter. I render service to you only for the satisfaction of Krishna. Even amongst Brahmins, there were different classes of Brahmins. Of course, you know, Brahmins are the priestly class of society, so they're the highest class of society. And because of the sort of the onslaught of Kali Yuga, there's quite a bit of discrimination between different classes of Brahmins, Kshatriyas, Vaishyas, Shudras, and then even lower, what to speak of even amongst those. So there were higher, lower, and higher, lower was considered to be better or worse. Unfortunately, these are material considerations. So he says, but this is not suitable. You're from an aristocratic family. I'm from a lower family. This is not going to work out. Lord Krishna is very much pleased by service rendered to Brahmanas. And when the Lord is pleased, the opulence of one's devotional service increases. The older Brahmin replied, my dear boy, do not doubt me. I will give you my daughter in charity. I have already decided this. The young Brahmin said, you have a wife and sons, and you have a large circle of relatives and friends. Without the consent of all your friends and relatives, it is not possible to give me your daughter in charity. Just consider the story of Queen Rukmini and her father Bhishmaka. King Bhishmaka wanted to give his daughter Rukmini in charity to Krishna, but Rukmi, his eldest son, objected. Therefore, he could not carry out his decision. The elder Brahmin said, my daughter is my own property. If I choose to give my property to someone, who has the power to stop me? We're talking about a different culture where girls don't choose their husbands. They don't choose their husbands because they don't associate with men. But it's their parents who choose a suitable person. And as we'll see, actually, this young man was more than very suitable. My dear boy, I will give my daughter to you in charity, and I will neglect the position of all others. Don't doubt me in this regard. Just accept my proposal. The younger Brahmin replied, if you've decided to give your young daughter to me, then say so before the Gopal deity. Coming before Gopal, the elderly Brahmin said, my dear Lord, please witness that I have given my daughter to this boy. In other words, they came before the deity, and then the Brahmin said, yes, now I vow that I will give my daughter to this young Brahmin. Then the younger Brahmin addressed the deity, saying, my dear Lord, you are my witness. I shall call for you to testify if it is necessary later on. Generally, the tradition in India was that people would take vows in front of a deity. Outside, people may be prone to say anything, but in front of a deity, people would be very reluctant to lie, because they knew that Krishna knows. Now, the younger Brahmin, he told the deity, he says, you are my witness, so if necessary, you're going to have to testify. After these talks, the two Brahmins started for home. As usual, the young Brahmin accompanied the elder Brahmin as if the older Brahmin were a guru, spiritual master, and rendered him service in various ways. After returning to Vidyanagar, each Brahmin went to his respective home. After some time, the elderly Brahmin became very anxious. He began to think, I've given my word to a Brahmin in a holy place, and what I promised will certainly come to pass. I must now disclose this to my wife, sons, other relatives, and friends. In other words, they finally got home and he decided, right now I have to tell my family what I had promised. Thus one day the elderly Brahmin called for a meeting of all his relatives and friends, and before them all he narrated what had taken place in front of Gopal. When those who belonged to the family circle heard the narration of the old Brahmin, they made exclamations showing the disappointment. They all requested that he not make such a proposal again. They unanimously agreed, "If you offer your daughter to a degraded family, your aristocracy will be lost. When people hear of this, they will make jokes and laugh at you." In other words, you're offering your daughter to a low-class Brahmin. What will people think of us? The elderly Brahmin said, "How can I undo the promise I made in a holy place while on pilgrimage? Whatever might happen, I must give my daughter in charity." The relatives unanimously said, "If you give your daughter to that boy, we shall all give up connection with you." Indeed, his wife and sons declared, "If such a thing happens, we shall take poison and die." This is called blackmail. The elderly Brahmin said, "If I do not give my daughter to the young Brahmin, he will call Sri Gopalji as a witness. Thus he will take my daughter by force, and in that case my religious principles will become meaningless." His son replied, "The deity may be a witness, but he is in a distant country." Distant country means we're talking like 2,000 kilometers. "How can he come to bear witness against you?" Why are you so anxious over this? Obviously he's an atheist and he doesn't believe that the deity can actually bear witness. "You do not have to flatly deny that you spoke such a thing. There's no need to make a false statement. Simply say that you do not remember what you said. If you simply say, 'I do not remember,' I shall take care of the rest. By argument, I shall defeat the young Brahmin." When the elderly Brahmin heard this, his mind became very much agitated. Feeling helpless, he simply turned his attention to the lotus feet of Gopal. The elderly Brahmin prayed, "My dear Lord Gopal, I have taken shelter of your lotus feet, and therefore I request you to please protect my religious principles from disturbance, and at the same time, save my kinsmen from dying." The next day, the Brahmin was helpless. On one side, he had this family connection, and his family was blackmailing him and pressuring him in so many ways. On the other hand, you can see that in his heart, he was praying to Gopal, "You have to resolve this situation." The next day, the elderly Brahmin was thinking deeply about this matter when the young Brahmin came to his house. The young Brahmin came to him and offered respectful obeisances, then very humbly, folding his hands, he spoke as follows, "You've promised to give me your daughter in charity to me. Now you do not say anything. What is your conclusion?" After the young Brahmin submitted this statement, the elderly Brahmin remained silent. Taking this opportunity, his son immediately came out with a stick to strike the younger man. The son said, "Oh, you are most degraded. You want to marry my sister, just like a dwarf who wants to catch the moon." Seeing a stick in the hand of the son, the younger Brahmin fled. The next day, however, he gathered together all the people of the village. All the people of the village then called for the elderly Brahmin and brought him to their meeting place. The young Brahmin then began to... So the system in India is that in a village there's a panchayat, who are the group of elders, sometimes five, maybe more, and these elders, they decide on all kinds of matters, especially disputes, and that takes place in a public forum, and then all the village is there. So this is what happened. The young Brahmin called the whole village. "This gentleman has promised to hand over his daughter to me, yet now he does not follow his promise. Please ask him about his behavior." All the people gathered there asked the elderly Brahmin, "If you have already promised to give him your daughter in charity, why are you not fulfilling your promise? You have given your word of honor." The elderly Brahmin said, "My dear friends, please hear what I have to submit. I don't exactly remember making a promise like that." When the elderly Brahmin's son heard this, he took the opportunity to juggle some words. Becoming very impudent, he stood before the assembly and spoke as follows, "While touring various holy places of pilgrimage, my father carried much money. Seeing the money, this rogue decided to take it away. There was no one besides this man with my father, giving him an intoxicant known as dutura to eat This rogue made my father mad. Having taken all my father's money, this rogue claimed that it was taken by some thief. Now, he's claiming that my father has promised to give him his daughter in charity. All of you assembled here are gentlemen. Please judge whether it is befitting to offer this poor Brahmin my father's daughter. So the son of the Brahmin, he was a real atheist. He was ill-intentioned, and he was trying to maintain the reputation of the family. Hearing all these statements, all the people gathered there became a little doubtful. They thought, well, it's quite possible that because of attraction for riches, one might give up his religious principles. In other words, if the boy marries the girl, then father become obliged to give dowry and other things, although actually, you know, it's not giving dowry voluntarily is fine, but compulsory dowry is actually against Shastric injunction. So at that time the young Brahmin said, now this is what the Brahmin says, my dear gentlemen, please hear me. Just to gain victory in an argument, this man is lying. Being very satisfied with my service, this Brahmin said to me of his own accord, I promise to hand over my daughter to you. At that time I forbade him to do this, telling him, O best of Brahmins, I am not a fit husband for your daughter. Whereas you are a learned scholar, a rich man belonging to an aristocratic family. I am a poor man, uneducated, with no claim to aristocracy. Still, this Brahmin insisted again and again. He asked me to accept his proposal, saying, I have given you my daughter, please accept her. I then said, please hear, you are a learned Brahmin. Your wife, friends, and relatives will never agree to this proposal. Anyway, he's going over what was their discussion. My dear sir, you will not be able to fulfill your promise. Your promise will be broken. Yet again and again, the Brahmin emphasized his promise. At that time, I concentrated my mind and requested the Brahmin to make the promise before the Gopal deity. Then this gentleman said in front of the Gopal deity, my dear sir, please bear witness, I have offered my daughter to this Brahmin in charity. Accepting the Gopal deity as my witness, now the young Brahmin is continuing, I then submitted this following at his lotus feet. If this Brahmin later hesitates to give me his daughter, my dear Lord, I shall call on you as a witness. Please note this with care and attention. Thus, I have called upon a great personality in this transaction. I have asked the Supreme Godhead to be my witness. The entire world accepts the words of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Taking this opportunity, now finally the older Brahmin is starting to feel guilty. He says, taking this opportunity, the elderly Brahmin immediately confirmed that this was really true. He said, if Gopal personally comes here to serve as witness, I shall certainly give my daughter to the young Brahmin. The elderly Brahmin's son, and he's thinking, yeah, sure, the deity's 2,000 miles away. If he comes here, okay, why not? As the elderly Brahmin's son immediately confirmed this, saying, yes, this is a very nice settlement. The elderly Brahmin thought, since Lord Krishna is very merciful, he will certainly come to prove my statement. He thought, now Krishna will certainly come. But the atheistic son thought, it is not possible for Gopal to come to bear witness. Thinking this, father and son agreed. So they both agreed, because the father thought Krishna will come, and the son thought it's impossible, Krishna will not come. All the assembled people got this statement down in black and white. Oh, the young Brahmin took this opportunity to speak. Please write this down on paper in black and white so that you may not again change your word of honor. Just a minute, I want to see what the Bengali here is. This is in Bengali, not Sanskrit. Likhana, writing. Yeah, there's no black and white. Black and white is about that. All the assembled people got the statement down in black and white, and taking the signatures of agreement from both of them, served as mediators. Yeah, both of them wrote. Okay. The young Brahmin then said, will all you gentlemen present please hear me? This elderly Brahmin is certainly truthful. This is now, it's just like we're here and someone's standing up, and this is in the middle of the village square, and a young man is standing up and is calling on everyone to hear. Will all you gentlemen present please hear me? This elderly Brahmin is certainly truthful and is following religious principles. He had no desire to break his promise, but fearing that his kinsmen would commit suicide, he deviated from the truth. By the piety of the elder Brahmin, I shall call the Supreme Personality of Godhead as witness. Thus I shall keep his truthful promise intact. Hearing this emphatic statement of the younger Brahmin, some atheists in the meeting began to cut jokes. However, someone else said, after all, the Lord is merciful, and if he likes, he can come. After the meeting, the young Brahmin started for Vrindavan. Now he went back to Vrindavan. Remember, he didn't hop on an airplane. He walked. And he's walking barefoot thousands of kilometers. So if you walk 20 kilometers a day, 25 kilometers a day, which is a good distance, that means it's taking a month and a half to get there. My Lord, you are the... He went to Vrindavan and he offered his obeisances to the deity, and then he narrated everything to the deity. He said, my Lord, you are the protector of Brahminical culture and you are also very merciful. Therefore, kindly show your great mercy by protecting the religious principles of us two Brahmins. So he's speaking to the deity. My dear Lord, I'm not thinking to become happy by getting the daughter as a bride. I'm simply thinking that the Brahmin has broken his promise, and that is giving me great pain. The young Brahmin continued, my dear sir, you're very merciful and you know everything. Therefore, kindly be a witness in this case. A person who knows things as they are and still does not bear witness becomes involved in sinful activities. So first of all, the Brahmin is, he making this point that it's not that I want to become wealthy by marrying this wealthy young girl, but I want to protect, but the Brahmin said something, and my duty is to try to help him protect his religious principles. Second, he said, and you know what the truth is. So if you know the truth and you let some untruth take place, then you become implicated in sinful activity. So he's saying, you're going to become sinful if you don't do this. Then the deity started to speak. He says, my dear Goa Brahmin, go back to your home and call a meeting of all the men. In that meeting, just try to remember me. I shall certainly appear there, and at that time I shall protect thee and both your Brahmins by bearing witness to the promise. So he said, you just go back, and when you're there, you meditate on me, and then a vision of me will appear, and then I'll bear witness. So Krishna was going along with him. The young Brahmin replied, my dear sir, even if you appear there as a four-handed Vishnu deity, none of those people will believe in your words. He said, that's not good enough. Only if you go there in this form of Gopal and speak the words from your beautiful face will your testimony be heard by all the people. So he said, no, that's not good. You have to go. I said Gopal will come, so you have to come. Then Krishna said, he said, I've never heard of a deity walking from one place to another. The Brahmin said, that may be true, but how is it that you're speaking to me although you're a deity? So he said, you can talk and you can walk. My dear Lord, you're not a statue. You're directly the son of Maharaj Nanda. Now for the sake of an old Brahmin, you can do something you've never done before. So maybe deities don't walk, there's a general practice. But you can walk, because the fact that you're a deity is just what's apparent to material vision. Actually, you're Krishna. So, but for the religious principles of this Brahmin, even though deities don't usually walk, but now you can do that. Gopalji then smiled and said, my dear Brahmin, just listen to me. I shall walk behind you, and in this way I shall go with you. I said, all right, I'm coming. The Lord continued, do not try to see me. There's no explanation why this takes place, but do not try to see me by turning around. As soon as you see me, I shall remain stationary in the very place. Anyway, that's a longer story, something I can't get into, but why? I mean, he's already coming, but the question is, how is he walking? So somehow Krishna didn't want the Brahman to see how he was actually walking. So he said, don't turn around. If you turn around, then I'm stopping where I am. He says, you will know that I'm walking behind you by the sound of my ankle bells. You hear my ankle bells. Cook 1 kilo of rice daily. A kilo of rice and offer it. I shall eat the rice and follow behind you. A kilo of rice makes a lot of rice. The next day, the Brahmin begged permission from Gopal and started for his country. Gopal followed him step by step. While Gopal followed the young Brahmin, the tinkling sound of his ankle bells could be heard. The Brahmin became very pleased, and he cooked first-class rice for Gopal to eat. The young Brahmin walked. How would he do that? Well, they would walk. Obviously, they were not walking on the main road. It wasn't that here's this Brahmin and the deity's walking behind him. So they were walking on some jungle paths, and at some certain places outside some village, then Gopal would stay there. The Brahmin would go beg rice. He would cook the rice, and he would bring it to Gopal and feed him, and then he would eat a little remnants, take rest, and they would continue. So this was going on. So like, now, how fast, whether Gopal could walk as fast as the Brahmin, but now this is going on for a month and a half. Just Krishna and the Brahmin together. The young Brahmin walked and walked in this way until he eventually arrived at his own country. When he reached the village, he began to think of follows. I have now come to my village, and I shall go to my home and tell all the people that the witness has arrived. The Brahmin then began to think that if the people didn't directly see the Gopal deity, they would not believe that he had arrived. But even if Gopal stays there, he thought, there's still nothing to fear. Thinking this, the Brahmin turned to look back, and he saw that Gopal, the Supreme Personality of Godhead, was standing there smiling. So the Brahmin, Krishna said, when you turn around to look at me, then I'm staying in that place. So Gopal thought, what's a good thing? You should stay here in one place. You shouldn't move. So then the Lord told the Brahmin, now you can go home. I shall stay here and shall not leave. The young Brahmin went to a town and informed all the people about Gopal's arrival. Hearing this, the people were struck with wonder. All the townspeople, running out, went to the witness Gopal, and when they saw the Lord actually standing there, they all offered their respectful obeisances. When the people arrived, they were very pleased to see the beauty of Gopal. And when they heard that he had actually walked there, they were all surprised. Now, those who have seen Shakshi Gopal is not this big. He's bigger than me. He's like over 6 feet tall. And, you know, his 1 foot is forward. He's in a walking pose. He stopped as soon as the Brahmin looked back. So he's very tall, so it wasn't that the Brahmin carried him either. The elderly Brahmin, being very pleased, came forward and immediately fell like the stick in front of Gopal. Thus, in the presence of all the townspeople, Lord Gopal bore witness that the elderly Brahmin had offered his daughter in charity to the young Brahmin. After the marriage ceremony was performed, this is just all abbreviated, but you can imagine the drama and the extended events that were all taking place. After the marriage ceremony was performed, the Lord informed both Brahmins, you two Brahmins are my eternal servants, birth after birth. The Lord continued, I have become very much pleased by the truthfulness of you both. Now you can ask for a benediction. Thus, with great pleasure, the two Brahmins begged for benediction. The Brahmin said, please remain here so that people all over the world will know how merciful you are to your servants. Then there's more story about Shakshi Gopal. So this is a very, very beautiful, extraordinary story, and it shows how much or to the extent that Krishna is willing to go to reciprocate with his devotees and walking 2,000 miles. Well, you can imagine also the other is that this is Gopal's going along with the Brahmin. What happened in the temple when the pujaris went in and the Brahmin and Gopal wasn't there anymore? There's another story over there. They must have been quite upset that all of a sudden the deity's just gone. Where did he go? So Krishna says, Yogakshema Bahami Aham. He says, I protect the assets, the words of my devotees, and this is personally an example of that. So this type of wonderful loving exchange is part and parcel of devotional service, because devotion is based on love. So Krishna is very much inclined to love his devotees, and his devotees are very much inclined to love him. And this Brahmin had very strong faith, extraordinary faith. He says, I ask you to bear witness, now you have to come. And of course, anyone can say anything they want to deities. You can say whatever you want to go in the tide. They're not necessarily going to follow you out the door when you leave. But still, Gopal was actually very impressed by the devotion of that young Brahmin. And therefore, he followed him. He came. So, bhaktya mama vijanati. So Krishna says that this is the power of bhakti or devotion. It can purchase Krishna. In bhakti rasamrita sindhu, it is called Krishna karshani jata. So there are six symptoms of bhakti, and one of them is that it has the power to attract Krishna. So love attracts Krishna. And these Brahmins, not by threatening Krishna that you're going to become implicated in some sinful activity, but by their attachment, by their deep faith in him, and also in the principles of religion, then they were able to attract him. Hare Krishna. Okay, now we're going to chant a little and make a little room. Maybe Amal and Sachi and Adi can come here, and we'll try to make the best of the harmony. And we turn a little this way, then everyone else can see. Otherwise, you've got backs to everybody. And then we'll chant Hare Krishna, which is the really best way for developing our love for Krishna, purifying our hearts.